when they were praying for me, the Lord started to wreck me a little bit. And the reason being is because we live far below what he has for you. You have no idea how much you're loved. And I know it sounds, men, you know, it's not manly. But you don't know how much you're loved. You don't fully, maybe you don't, I don't know. Understand the gravity, the weight of what he did for you. You'll see it someday. But for now, we get so blinded by this life. And we get so consumed with the things that are temporary that we lose sight of the eternal. And we got to pump each other up. You see, the real difference is not made what happens in here, even though this is so important. It's how you live when you leave here. It's how your marriages are. It's how you are to your coworkers. It's how you are working for your boss when they're not looking. And I've seen in the church where we've taken ministry and gifts and we exalt them sometimes over integrity and godly character. But the why behind what we do, the purpose for which we live, is what he desires from us. What good is it to scream and yell and shout and goosebump just to cuss out your waitress here in a few minutes? You're not changing. That's not what he designed for you. He knit you in that womb because he's the creator and you're in the image of that creation, so he understands what makes you come alive. And he shouts from the streets, it says in Proverbs, that wisdom cries out and you turn your ear off to it because it doesn't fit your understanding. And I don't say this to condemn you or to shame you. I'm saying this because there's more. It's not words. These are truths. Let's pray. Father, just break through today, God, Lord. Have mercy on us. Give me strength, God. God, all I want is for the hearer to hear and the seer to see. This is nothing about me. This is about your desire for humanity. That you will that none would perish but have everlasting life, God. But unfortunately, men love the darkness. And unfortunately, your church has adopted worldly ways at times. So God, I just ask you just to change our minds. Let's see what you see. Let's hear what you're speaking. Shine through the darkness. Shatter the rebellion. Renew minds and hearts today, God. Just do, have your way, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go with me to John chapter 3. I'm continuing on in Eric's work through John, and what I miss, he can pick up next week. That's the beauty of getting to do this consistently. So I get one shot, and that's okay. That's all right, because it's the moment right now. I got a lot of scriptures, and I'm not going to try to waste your time or anything, but I think it's necessary, and I'll read as quick as I can. So John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So Nicodemus is a seeker here. He's also scared. That's why he came by night, right? He was afraid of the pushback that he would receive by his people, his circle. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My friend, if you don't know Jesus, you must be born again. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man when he is old, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? What's the disconnect here for Nicodemus? He's thinking in the natural. You see the progression here? He seeks Jesus. Jesus is speaking to him. He's hearing what Jesus says, but he has no understanding. You know how many people in the church have that problem? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Look at the example he gives. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. See, people won't even argue that wind exists, right? But they'll argue that Jesus exists. They'll argue that the Holy Spirit exists. They don't understand the wind and how it's generated and what all happens. Maybe some of the scientists may give you some conclusion to that, right? But know how people don't argue with that, but they argue about how they were created and the purpose for which they are here. Why? Because it doesn't fit their lifestyle. It doesn't fit their thinking. It doesn't fit their understanding. So when they hear it, they receive it with pride and reject it. And the whole time he's crying out to you. His words speak true. Nicodemus answered and said to them, he's still not getting it. How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Did he know the Old Testament? But somehow, all those prophecies that pointed to Jesus, he was short-sighted and blinded. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Let that sink. He came down. He was equal with God and didn't find it robbery to come. Took the form of a bondservant. Knew his journey. Knew what was to come. The minute he's going to predict it and share with Nicodemus it. But he still showed up for you and for me. That's why I say you're loved more than what you realize. You're loved more than what you can fathom and comprehend, because you judge it based upon earthly love, not a heavenly Father. Who is love and is the supply of love. He came, church. He showed up. I'm going to have to read all this. This is Mandy's. He goes on to say, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him may be what? Saved. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to love you. He came to show you and open your eyes, your created image and your created value, so that you can see that this world's way is not the way, that he is the way. If you don't know him today, today is the greatest opportunity of your life to make the best decision that you can ever make. Because not only did love lift you, love lifted the sin of the world off of you. Look, either a lot of us are fooled by this message or it's true. I don't have the faith to believe that somewhere out there in the cosmos that something was made from nothing and an energy was made from nothing that created a cataclysm, whatever, what's the word? Cataclysm, thank you, what she said. You see what I'm saying? I can't get it out. Right? And then boom. I don't have the faith to believe that I once was a single cell protozoan that just spread arms and legs and got reasoning. I don't have the faith to believe that my ancestors once were primates. That doesn't fit me, guys. It takes faith to believe that stuff. You either put it in science, you can put it in God. And or you could just believe, well, he's not even existing. He still loves you. Still wants you to come in. Why? For God so loved the world. Most quoted scripture of all time. It's not spoken a lot because it's so spoken that preachers probably avoid it. But it's the most powerful statement. He so loved you. He wants a relationship with you. You know how many people are in this room? You could say, well, you're a bunch of religious people. You know how many people in this room that were in despair and dying and drinking till they threw up, not remembering the night before, not remembering what they'd done before, living on drugs, living day to day, doing whatever they had to do, lowering themselves in order to get by, and then they met Jesus. Do you know how many people would be incarcerated right now if it wasn't for Jesus? And you want to claim it's just religion. Why would people give their neck and their life for this thing if it wasn't true? I'm just trying to get you to think a little bit if you're rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is good news, guys. Let's not make it less. He desires a relationship with you. He doesn't want you to go day by day living in this despair and this depression. He already paid the price for you. Forgiveness is available. What do you got to do? You got to believe. You got to believe on the name. You got to believe that he's the Son of God and he died and rose again on your behalf. We've complicated it so much. You're not saved by your works. You can't do enough to get to heaven. You can't, because your righteousness is that of filthy rags. You can still do good things and it still be about you. Because we're born into this. We're born into the Adamic nature. We're falling short of the glory of God. There's nothing that we could do. And the wages, the payment, the recompense for that is death. But he died so that you can live. Because he loves you. Goes on to say, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been done in God. We are so, truth scares us because it causes us to change. But it's the path to freedom, guys. And we reject it. And people that don't know Christ reject his message, reject his love. The only thing you can do from that point on, because you've got to answer the question, then what? What do you do after you die? You've got to answer that. If you have no belief, if you have no structure inside of your brain, you either push it off to the end, you got to do something. You know, I've talked with atheists, and guess what? They don't like to talk about it. You know why? Because if you put a crack in the foundation that there is no God, they don't want that because then change has to come. People don't want to even think about, that's what gets me sometimes, and Lord help me. People don't even think about these things because it's then what, and then what, and then what? All right, you got your job, then what? You're retired now, then what? Because eventually that then what is you in the casket. He didn't create hell for you. He created it for the demons and Satan. He wants you pulled up. And what a time will it be when he closes this thing down and you see your loved ones in this eternal utopia of freedom and life and light, and you chose to reject it. And no matter how much you cry and scream and seethe, you look apart. You look apart the chasm and you can't go. He doesn't want that. I'm not just speaking today to those who don't know Christ. I'm also speaking to you guys who have been saved for a day or many yesterdays ago. I used to think when he who believes in him will have eternal life, right? I used to think what? Post-death, right? Do you know when you look it up, it's deeper than that. Your time is now, church. Eternal life, it began when you believed upon the Lord and you decided to follow him. I saw one translation meaning it's when you accept Christ, you get the God kind of life. I'm staying up here today because I had a little jujitsu injury yesterday and I don't want to. Eric was hobbling the other day. I'm going to look tougher than him. So usually I'm after Roy, even though he viciously attacked me Wednesday night when I came in his class. But then why are we not living it? John 10:10, the thief comes, kill, steal, and destroy. But I come. What does that look like? Do you encounter it with your brothers and sisters? You see, the God kind of life is joy unspeakable. It's peace that passes all understanding. It's righteous living. It's free of worry and fear. Do you want that kind of life? Do you think he's up there wringing his hands, pacing the floor? You think there's laughter up there and joy? Come on now, I've been around this for a long time. I just let people talk. And I hear stuff all the time that I'm just like, man, that has nothing to do with the scriptures. That is you getting to your emotions right now. And that's not what he paid for. That's not what he desires for you today. He wants you to have the eternal life. Your time is now. You don't have to wait. Now, will that day, glorious day, be great for you? Absolutely. You take on that glorious body, right? I'm not saying that that's not something to look forward to, something to long for, to be with Christ, to be absent from the body, right? But I am saying that you can, the kingdom of heaven is now. You can walk in his authority, walk in the inheritance now. You don't have to wait. But a lot of people I know are just struggling to try to survive until the grave. And you say, you don't have to live like that. And they're like, no, 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 man, we're just human. I get it, we make mistakes. But you were made for more. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. Because if there's a new birth, that means there's a new man, right? Second Corinthians 5, verse 12. And I'm going to read through these. How are we doing? For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you an opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. He died for all, and for those who live shall live no longer for themselves. Man, if you take that right there, walk out of here and live that. But for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So what does this mean? It's a gospel of transformation. It's not a punch ticket to heaven. It's that you can have the eternal life of God now. Why? By living in the new mindset, becoming the new creation of Christ. That means you got to change, repent, metanoia, change the way that you think. It's not enough just to speak the language in here. You got to change the way you think when you go out there. Because you're new. So why do we still see the struggle? Because people are still holding on to old mindsets and the old thinking of the old nature. When he wants to redeem you from that. And guess what? The struggle will continue to be real because you're not changing the way you think. And if you're not going to do it his way, you've got to come up with your own logic and reasoning to do it your way, which is not working, probably. You might hit a home run every once in a while, but most of the time, right, every time I've done it my way, it fails. I've never been disappointed in going Jesus' way. But see, that's the renewed mind. That's the rebirth. It's because he takes his mind and puts it in you. Now, it's not a brain transplant. It is you lining up with his truths. Now this is the way that you think, and now you become transformed, and the old is gone. Let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, right? The old man, right? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to, or slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. I can't tell you enough that sin is dangerous. See, this is how I used to think. God, just about do's and don'ts. I can't have any fun as a Christian. Right? Until I grew up a little bit, my mind changed on it. It's the fact that he's a father trying to teach us not to do things that destroy us. What does gossip do? What does selfish ambition do? What does adultery do? Is the fruit good? Is talking behind people's back good? Do it all the time. We can get into the big ones, right? What does that stuff do to humanity? He says, stop. Quit destroying yourselves. Quit self-sabotaging your life. And I'll show you the better way, right? Ephesians chapter 4. Again, I'm not condemning you. I hope you receive this with grace this morning to your ears. I'm just telling you there's a better way. I'm telling you that I've done those things, and I'm not proud of it. There's a reason why he labels these sins as sins, because they're destructive. Ephesians 4, verse 17. I just want you to get the gist of it, guys. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you shall no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Amen. Three accounts already. Should we be living in the old man, the old mindsets, and the old nature? You're hurting yourself. You know what is worse? Is that it perpetuates. Because you have children. You have grandchildren. And they see you doing it. Now it's okay. But then kids have a way of taking it to another level. And then you're broken right here. When you can stop it now. I've seen it. There's third generation alcoholics, right? Crack a beer with dad. Then your grandchildren are hooked. I'm up here saying one drink going to get you, but I'm saying that being under the influence is terrible. Because you're no longer sober thinking. You took your mind to another place and you open it up to whatever comes. People destroy themselves over and over when there's a loving God that says, stay away. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 5. Are you still with me? Look, guys, I want you to come alive. I don't want you to be half in, half out. There is no joy in that. The devil owns the fence. So if you ride it, you're riding with him. And you have a father that loves you. Please don't hear me, hear him. Even if it's something completely different than what I'm speaking right now, hear him. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Goes on to say, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked. Doesn't say still struggling with. You once walked. When you lived in them. Listen to what it says. But now you yourselves. Let me make sure I'm reading this correctly. Who's he talking to? Pray to God that God break it off of you? Or is he saying, but now you yourselves are to put off all these? I'm not saying don't pray for strength, because Lord, I need it. There are some things, the chains are a little tighter than others, and I need his strength to loosen them up. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You put it off. See that it's harming you. See that it's harming those around you. See that these are not your relationship building blocks. You don't have to give people a piece of your mind. You choose to give them a piece of your mind. Because you are proud. And nobody's going to talk to you or treat you like that. So you still feel entitled, which is the old nature thinking. Then you tell people about the love and mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God in the next sentence. I'm not shaming you. I'm saying there's a better way. Put it off. It says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge back to the sanctity of life, back to the knitting and the forming and the wonderful work of you, right? According to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Ponder for just a second, what would this world look like if everyone, including the top elite, lived out the teachings of Jesus? What would this world be like? Like heaven. But people blame God Because men love darkness rather than they love the light. Let me give you another question. It's a little more sobering. What if the church lived out the teachings of Jesus Christ? Would more people be attracted? Would more people see Christ in us? Or would they see you sometimes and Christ sometimes and you sometimes and Christ sometimes and you sometimes and Christ sometimes? See the old man sometimes, the new man sometimes, the old man sometimes, the new man sometimes. And they're confused. And it's like, I don't want what you got because you're confused. Would there be as many church splits? Could we potentially lock arms with our brothers and sisters across the county and love on people more and not worry about who fits what building and sits in what seat? It's all about Jesus. How lovely and pleasant is when brothers dwell in unity, but self-interest gets in the way. What would it be like? Goes on to say, this says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on, which is the bond of perfection. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love never fails. What if we just started here, church? No, seriously, what if we just did that right there? What would it be like? What would our relationships be like? What would your marriage be like? The relationship with your kids be like? The world finds it weak to be tender, gentle, meek. So if you want to choose toughness, hard-nosed, hard line, never change, don't talk to me, don't trust anybody, your relationships are going to follow suit. See, Eric talked about it the other day, talking about how we want the Holy Goosebump. We want the big thing to happen. We want the glory to fall. I do too. I don't want to choose programs over presence. I want the presence of God here. Amen. I don't want an agenda over the Spirit leading. But He's got to create in us a new heart, guys. Because again, it doesn't do us any good to leave here and then go home and fight tooth and nail with your spouse. Doesn't do us any good here. Look, there's a Christian artist. I'm not going to say his name. He's under a lot of fire right now because his sins found him out. Maybe even some illegal stuff. He's some possible hot water. Given this huge platform, I listened to him growing up, had some of the CDs or cassette tapes for those. You kids, if you don't know what they are, they're these little plastic things and you stick them in there and then the tape thing would eat them and you had to like take your finger or a pencil. It was tough. We suffered, but we made it through. I was right at the end of the 8-track era, but so I don't know how good they were, but man, those, I was right at the end, so I didn't. You know what he said in his interview? He says, I didn't live the same way on Monday as I was on Sunday. Lost the fear of the Lord. I'm sure his heart was right, and I'm sure the pull of popularity, I'm sure the money, the fame and stuff started talking a little bit louder than Jesus started talking, and that is a lot of people can do. It doesn't have to have a public platform or anything like that. And our prayer should go to him, because what's important for him to get right and to get healthy. I don't judge the brother, but there are so many people that are in that same boat as they live differently on Sunday as they do on Monday. And if you're struggling and you're hurting today, I don't want you to put a mask on. I want you to be healed and see the better way and put those things off so that you can walk out of here in the freedom and in the abundant life of Christ that he purchased and paid for you, so that you can shine your light before men and let your words, your deeds be glorifying unto the Father. Guys, I want you free. It's not about pointing stuff out of your life and saying you're bad and all this. It's about telling you that these things are destroying you and they're going to destroy your family. You may not see it at the beginning, but once that seed takes root, it is going to be harder to pluck out of your life, and the problems can become way more complex. And if you don't dig it out now while there's a chance and the opportunity, you might eat the fruit of what you're deciding to do. A little leaven leavens the whole bunch. A little poison contaminates a bottle of water. Guys, that's why we got to watch what we look at. Watch what we see. Watch what we have to pay attention. What is coming in? If it doesn't line up with the truth, we are to put it off. Disregard it. You see, he wants the deeds of the darkness to be foreign to our thinking. Do you understand what I'm saying? Instead of yelling and screaming at each other, why don't you grab hands and pray? If you don't want to be in the same room, go to your timeout corners and come back. Get on your stool, let Jesus massage some love back in you, then come back. Touch gloves and pray, not bump each other in the nose. Amen. Some of you are looking at each other. He wants you free, guys. It was never meant for us to live these self-destructive behaviors. Stand with me. Retrieve it if you won't come. I'm going to open the altar. My first plea is today to you, if you don't know Christ, now's your opportunity. Now's your opportunity. He loves you. He died for you. You need to see that you've fallen short of the glory of God. You need to see that the wages of sin is death, but he is offering you eternal life, not just for tomorrow, but for today. I'm not promising that everything just goes away immediately. There's processes in certain things, but as time goes, he'll change you. And you'll have the strength to walk through the fire, guys. But you can also walk through it with peace. You can also walk through it with still joy in your heart, pepping your step, loving life, not being down and despaired and depressed. Let's pray real quick. Father, may you move in the hearts of each person. I pray for a moment of clarity for each person. God, here, I'm going to pray for those that don't know you. Give them the strength, God, to say yes. Give them this, God, give them, Lord. Meet them at their belief, God. trying to embarrass anyone. But if you want to know, you have never asked Jesus into your heart, or I should say you've never chosen to believe into the Lord, would you come forward? Eric, can you help me up here, buddy? Anyone else? The altar's open too. If you need to do business with the Lord and you're walking in your old ways and God is convicting your heart and you need to ask the Lord to change your thinking, for you to see clear, go ahead and come on forward. I always get the word first, so I get a chance to pray over myself. Yeah. Please don't let the old man guide you. Make a decision. Again, I felt the burning of the love of God for you before I got up here. Don't sell yourself short. And certainly don't sell him short. So let me pray over you. Father, we just come together collectively as your children, united in the faith, Lord God, that Jesus is Lord, he's King. And in him we have life. So speak abundant life over each person here tonight, Lord, which means they have to put off some things, God. But God, in their putting off, Lord, they put on, Lord. They put on the clothing of righteousness and holiness, God. Father, I just pray a lifting off of their soul today, God. Just lighten the load, Lord God. Father, that they decided today that that thing that changed them to their past, or that thing, God, that tethers them, Lord, each and every week, that kind of kicks them around, God, Lord, they will cut the umbilical cord, Lord. They will see, God, that that is not life. God, that your mercy will flow, Lord. Renew our minds today, God. Let us see it how you see it. Let us get the understanding of why, God, you don't want us to do that. And through that, God, Lord, I just want to speak to relationships. God, that they will strengthen, Lord, because love and mercy and forgiveness. Because the unifying power of your Spirit will be around them. I lift up marriages to you today, God, Lord. May it be sweeter as the day goes by for them, Lord. Not a war zone in their home, God, but a house, Lord, that is full of peace, full of life, full of joy. God, just let them see, Lord, the destructive pattern of sin. Let all of our eyes be open, God. We give you the praise and glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand today. Today's a wonderful day. Praise God. God is so good, so good. Don't forget, Helping Hand is this Friday. And then all the other stuff we got going on, be sure to check the calendar on the church app or check the Welcome Center, either one. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. And go in peace and serve the Lord.